Okay, turns out the holiday party I'm going to tonight is a gift swap. Luckily, Instacart delivers more than groceries, so I can get tech, beauty gift sets, even sporting goods delivered right to my door, which gives me more time to focus on what's really important during the holidays. Trying to remember my cousin's boyfriend's name. I want to say Craig? When I need gifts at the 11th hour delivered in as fast as an hour, I cart it. Visit Instacart.com to get free delivery on your first order. Offer valid for limited time. Minimum order $10. Additional terms apply.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 13th day of December 2022. And tonight we have the standing by the guardian of the board, our producer, Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And we have, he didn't sound like there's a lot of energy there. You know, I mean, you say that, I can say,
it's a good
evening,
every
everybody. You got it? Can you do that?
And do what?
Good evening, everybody.
Like that. Yeah, say, good evening, everybody.
What's right, what's left?
All right. Okay, very good. And that we have way out yonder. And he's kind of under the weather tonight. And boy, that's not good for a fellow his age. But none other than the parson, Joe Larson.
Oh, a little trial and tribulation must come through everyone's life. I'm ready to go to work.
Now listen, this is a message just for the Christians out there. Just for those of you who are born-again, Bible-believing Christians who believe God's word. Who believe that the Bible teaches you be ye doers of the word, not just hearers only, and be ye doers of the work. Because we've got a couple legislative alerts, and all you have to do is make a phone call, and the Bible makes it very clear that that's the least you can do. Read Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The least that you can do is use your bodies for the work of the Lord. So the bottom of the hour, we'll give a couple numbers out, and these are legislative alerts that you need to call. You need to be that doer of the word, and you know, run after this battle. Let them know. Stand up like men and women and fight like Christian soldiers with your eyes upon the cross. That's what you have to do, right? Okay. We're going to get right into it because we got so much to do tonight. And the title of the message was Baal, Moloch, and Woke. Now, let me tell you something. Baal, Moloch, and Woke are all one and the same. This new God today, as well, Solomon said, it's not new. It's the same old thing with a different name. It's the same old horrible satanic thing with a different name. That's what Woke is. So yesterday, Joe, we read through Judges 19, 12 through 30, and today, let's go back and let's do it verse by verse. Let's go through there. Now, here, the Benjamite men, the Benjamite men were the LGBTQ of that day. That's who what they are. Now, it was such a horrible, horrible, vile sin, the sin of sodomy that was recognized in those days, that And there were two major problems, or three. There were laws against, one, sodomy. God's laws were there. Two, they were not enforced, Joe. The problem of it was they had laws in place, but the laws were not enforced. Does that sound familiar?
Sounds very familiar. Sounds just like today.
Like nothing new under the sun, huh?
Ignoring the Constitution, they're ignoring all kinds of laws.
And so now the sin of sodomy was such a vile, sin that these men who, and they took these laws, okay, of hospitality. It was what you call the honor. It was a law of hospitality. It was a code of honor is what it was. They kind of went overboard with it. It was kind of fanatical. You know, that when someone came and it was your job to show hospitality, if you didn't take that person in and show them hospitality, well, you were a lesser person. You were not much in, much of a person in those days. But they took it to an extreme when they were ready to offer up, allow their daughters and women to be abused by sodomites. These men should have fought to the death, right?
Right, but they didn't.
No, they didn't. But again, let's talk about why that sin was such a vile sin. Now, today, that sin, has God changed? Is God immutable? Has his laws, has God's standards changed even an iota?
No, not one iota. His standards, his law, his just judgments, his ordinances, nothing has changed.
So then, why is it that this sin that was considered so vile, that is considered so vile by God, is embraced by United Church of the Antichrist, the Episcopal Church, a lot of United Methodist churches out there today, the World and National Council of Churches, for the most part, this sin that was so vile to God, that is so vile to God, it is so repulsive, and yet it's embraced by the White House. The White House and that wicked pedophile who is in the White House, and by his own daughter's confession, the man is a pedophile. But even by his acts, Joe Biden invited drag queen Marti Gold Cummings to attend a Disrespect for Marriage Act signing ceremony at the White House. Now, that thing already passed years ago. We're going to talk about that. We're not supposed to know what they're doing, Joey. Are you fooled?
No. They passed a law about 10 years ago for authorizing gay marriage. It should have been gay union because they can't have a marriage. That's a creation of God, but they could have a civil union. But they passed it 10 years ago, so there's nothing new here. They are just trying to reinforce, and they're trying to strengthen this idea of gay marriage and a few other things so they can go after the Christians for holding on to their faith. That's the whole purpose of this new law, is to be able to go after Christians.
Well, it's not the whole purpose. You don't suppose that they're trying to keep, by doing this, the attention of some other things that's happening, like what is being exposed by Twitter. You know, you notice all of these
corrupt FBI, the border crisis,
all these spies. Yeah.
Yeah,
you notice that's not being, you know, hardly even spoken of it. NBC, ABC, CBS, okay, so on and so forth. So,
oh, how about all the planes that China is sending over Taiwan, and they're daily, you know, threatening and flying over the Taiwan's airspace, and there's so many things going on. The North Koreans threatening new missiles. I mean, but it's not in the news. Nobody knows about it because we're too busy celebrating sodomites at the White House.
Well, let's go. Well, you know, one thing, you know, Joey was able to smell Marti Gold's hair.
Good for him.
If you can't get like
a wigs.
If you don't get a regular little girl, you know, a drag queen, you know, will work in a pinch. Let's go here. Starting in verse 12 of Judges 19. And his master said unto him, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger. This is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. And he said unto his servant, well, go ahead, Joe. Okay.
And he said unto his servant, come, and let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night in Gibeah or in Ramah.
And they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon. And when they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin, they turned aside to go in and to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat down in a street of the city, for there was no man that took them in to his house to lodging.
And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even, which was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah. But the men of the place were Benjamites.
And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city. And the old man said, whither goest thou, and whence comest thou?
And he said unto him, we are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, and toward the side of Mount Ephraim, and from whence am I? And I went to Bethlehem, Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord, and there is no man that receiveth me to house.
Yet there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me, and for thy handmaid, and for thy young man, and which is thy servant. There is want of nothing. Let's stop there for a minute. Okay, so he's kind of emphasizing here, and he's playing on the unwritten law, and that's what it was, basically. It was an unwritten law of hospitality. There, and it was no place was that so strong as it was there in the Middle East here. So he's kind of playing on that, hinting around that this fellow might be able to take him in, okay?
Right.
And apparently
he have a strong direct hint, actually. He's saying no one has let me in. No man receiveth me.
And so
and
the
he
old
said,
the
well,
old
they're Benjaminites. They're not right. going to cuz
well, the old man was not a Benjamite. The old man here now, he got the memo, if you will. And the old man said, peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me, and lodge not in the street.
So he brought him into his house, and gave him provender under the asses, and they washed their feet, and did eat and drink.
Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain of Belial. Now, stop there. The Belials,
yeah.
they were Sodomites. Do you remember when Jezebel betrayed Naboth? They set up that phony, like Hillary did. The phony Russia scam. Well, to condemn Donald Trump. Well, here, when Jezebel set up that phony scam to betray Naboth to get his vineyard, she got Sodomites, she got the men of Belial to give false testimony. And he said, and the sons of Belial beset the house around about, and beat at the door, and spake in the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came unto thine house, that we may know him. Remember at Sodom and Gomorrah what happened.
Yeah, that we may know, this sounds just like that. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them, and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house. Do not this folly.
Now, here, when the old man says so wickedly, he understood, again, going back to the very first time that word sodomite was used. It was used as an abominable, but the word abomination was attached to it. An abomination in the eyes of God. Has that changed any? Or is the LGBTQ of today still as great an abomination in the eyes of God?
Yes, God cannot change. What he said will last forever, and I don't think forever's happened. So, yeah. We see this same thing in 2 Samuel 23, verse 6. had it there, my hand slipped. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. The men of Israel were told not to even touch them, but to fence them off with iron and by a staff of a spear. They were filthy, and God said, don't even touch them.
Well, that was King David's orders to his men.
Right, but I mean, he came from God, right?
Yeah, right. And he said what they would do is they would have their shields would have slots in it where they can run their spears, their javelins, through the slots, and they were told to kill the LGBTQ right there, let them drop right there, and but not to touch them because they were infested with disease, and burn them right there on the spot. Now, what was when they burnt the bodies of people? What was the idea there? It was to do what?
That was a cleansing. They were unclean. They were to, it was to be the body was to be destroyed because it was unclean. Not to touch it.
All right. Today, if instead of being buried, they burn the body, what's that called?
Cremation.
Right. Now, a lot of people choose to be cremated, don't they?
Because it's cheap.
Okay. Now, but the symbolism in the Bible to be cremated was a symbol to be dishonored, okay?
Right. Dishonored because of the body, in this case, was diseased and no one was to touch it, so it was something held in an unclean thing.
And to be defiled, to do that. In other words, they would dig up the bones of their enemies and burn them, okay, as a way of defilement. It was a way of defilement of that day. And let me ask you this. Is there any place in the Bible that any of the saints, any of the prophets, any of the priests, any of them used cremation instead of burial for the saints?
Not that I've ever found.
No, and there wasn't.
No one else I know has found it either.
There wasn't, okay. And
not
so,
there.
And so, but a lot of people don't know that. The vast majority of people, they're clueless. The vast majority of people today are clueless. They don't know that, okay. But, I mean, it would be, some people will wonder, well, wow, if they're cremated, that means they won't go to heaven? No, don't mean that at all. No, no, God is fully capable of reassembling all of your atoms. He
took it from the dust of the earth to begin with. He can take it from a pile of ashes. So,
yeah. But whenever you have a doubt about anything, if you go to God's Word, the Bible, let's say we go to baptism. If you're not sure about baptism, whether you should it's sprinkling or what, if we take the Word of Bible, do we see any in the New Testament any instances of baptism other than by immersion?
No, and no children, no babies. All were old enough to choose.
Right. So there's no instances at all in Scripture where they referred to every single case that we find in the Bible on baptism was upon someone's profession of their faith in Christ, huh?
Right. And a baby can't make much of a profession of faith, can they?
Right. And so here, as we pick this up, and so when he says, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man has come into mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter and a maiden and a concubine. I will bring out now and humble you to them to do what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man, do not such a vile thing.
Right. But the men that phrase, that we may know him, implies sexual activity.
Absolutely.
And we know what sodomites do. That's why it's called vile.
Absolutely. It was so offensive to God. But the men would not hearken to him, so the men took the concubine and brought her forth and unto them, and they knew her, and abused her all night long until the morning. And when they had begun to spring, they said, let go. Then came the woman. Go ahead.
Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light.
And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were up on the threshold.
And he said unto her, up and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and gat him unto his place.
And when he had come to his house, he took a knife and laid hold on the concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coasts of Israel.
And it was so that all that saw it said, there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds.
Okay, so now he sent parts of her to all 12 tribes. And now the Benjamites...
Kind of signal, that's kind of a very dark but profane or profound signal that something bad was done to this girl. And he was trying to get them angry to join him, right?
Well, that was it, but he did let them know what they had done, the Benjamites, to they had become what they became. And so the idea was that they were to do what? That somehow they were to show some repentance, but they didn't. So if you turn over to Judges 20, and we start, I'll read it, Joe, starting in verse 32. And the children of Benjamin said, they are smitten down before us in the first. But the children of Israel said, let us flee and draw them from the city unto the highways. And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place and put themselves in array at Bel Tamar. And their liers and weight of Israel came forth out of their places, even of the meadows of Gibeah. And there came against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of his all Israel, and the battle was sore, but they knew not the evil was near them. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel, and the children of Israel destroyed of the Benjamites that day 25,000 and 100 men. All these drew their sword. Now, so God punished them by taking them out. What he did is he sent the children of Israel into the city, and when the Benjamites saw them, they said, let's get them. They came from up to chase them. And so they ran out, and they had an ambush waiting for them out there, and they destroyed all of them, 25,100 men. And we're going to stop right there because we're up against a hard break. We'll be back right after this.
Here's a song for all of you liberals who believe your ways are best, who don't mind overcrowding this nation with a swarm of foreign immigrants, who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's fouling our nest. When are you ever gonna read the writing upon the wall? We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Now can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state? Let's get a grip on immigration. United States. How can we ever come to any solution when all we ever do is debate? We've got to get a tighter grip on our borders. We've got to seriously legislate and quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist and quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States.
Alrighty, we are back. And look, I've got folks, you ready? You got your pen and your papers. You're activists. You be doers of the word out there. Listen, God has raised you up for such a time as this. Right now, this is your time to stand up and run to this battle. You see, the problem we have in America today is we didn't have men standing the way they should. There was weakness, a great weakness from the pulpits. And those that were supposed to be strong leaders failed. They failed God. They failed the country. And, folks, you don't want to be a part of that. You want to be a doer of the word, not a hearer, only deceiving your own self. And so here's what you do. You need to call, starting with your U.S. senator nationwide, tomorrow morning on this omnibus spending bill. Folks, again, they're pushing stuff through. There are things that you do not want. And you say, well, it doesn't do any good. No, they need to hear from you. In no uncertain terms, they need to hear. Your senators need to hear you're tired and fed up of being betrayed. You're tired of taking it between the shoulder blades. You're tired and you're fed up. And you're just sick and tired of rhinos, too. And so, and communists and rhinos. You all need to call your senators. I don't care. Whatever your senator is, a Democrat or Republican, you need to call them and let them know. Look, remember something. See, they are supposed to work for you. But they said, listen, you can tell by their actions. We have no respect for those people. We can step on their face and they won't do anything. They won't stand and fight back. Are you one of those? Now, if you're a lesser person, then don't do anything. But if you got any respect, if you're a Christian, if you believe in God and you got any respect for yourself, then call tomorrow. Call your U.S. Senator at 202-225-3121. 202-225-3121. Call him and say, look, give it 21 days. To look at this bill and let everybody know what's in it. 21 days is what you're asking. Demand that you do that. Remember, remind them that you have been paying their salaries. Now, also, for people in Ohio, this is very important. People in Ohio, we have a very, very bad piece of legislation that they're trying to push through. It's called Senate Bill 178. Okay. This is, again, very anti-Christ, anti-life legislation. Senate Bill 178, okay? And so call this number in Ohio. This is your state representative, 614-466-8842. This is your state representative in Ohio, your state rep, 614-466-8842. Again, it's Senate Bill SB 178. Call it 614-466-8842. Be ye a doer of the word, not a hearer only.
Right, okay. And we know that evil triumphs when good men and good women do nothing.
That's absolutely right.
Often what happens, not enough people say anything. They're afraid of being canceled or made fun of, or they're afraid, you know, the government will come after them, something. And I hate to tell you, but the world runs by intimidation. I think 98% of everything is done by intimidation, whether by through the evil side. And most of the time, that's all it is intimidation. But when that works, evil doesn't have to do anything else, right?
That's right.
Most of the time, it's simply intimidation, and people let it happen to them. You and I have been speaking out for a long time, and we're still here.
All right, Joe, you know, we believe in what we just read last week about imprecatory prayers. We believe in doing what God's Word, the Bible, says. And, you know, it was an interesting thing, Joe. Remember, I've been calling for the pastors to call out, for the pastors out there to be bold, to find enough courage to call out these wicked men like Joe Obama Biden, to call them out for their sin, like John the Baptist called out Herod. And I mentioned three names. One was, of course, Franklin Graham. The other was Charles Stanley. I said, if men like Franklin Graham and Charles Stanley, but there was a third man I mentioned. Do you remember who that was?
Oh, I'm having trouble there. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't tell.
It was John MacArthur.
Right.
I said, if guys like pastors like these, you know, and I mentioned just three. I'm talking about all, every actual real pastor, every man who's a real preacher needs to stand up and be bold and have enough guts to call out the wicked. Well, John MacArthur must have heard what I was saying, because he now is calling out Gavin Newsom. He's calling out Gavin Newsom there in California to repent or perish. And so what we're going to do tonight, we're going to, there's two people. We're going to judge. Do you know who Judge Miriam Welsh is? Do you know who she is? She's in Indiana, and she just said that a pro-life bill would violate the religious belief of pagans.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And take away their right to kill babies. That the religious belief of pagans is very important. And that's why they should have the right to kill babies, right?
It's Heather, Judge Heather Welch.
Okay. Well, my article here is that I got is Miriam.
Decision from Heather Welch. Well, I got this from WND.com. I don't know where yours is.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyhow, maybe it's Heather Miriam Welch. Okay.
Yeah, it could be one of those names, yeah.
Okay, so now, I want you to pray in a precatory prayer, but we need all of the folks out there, listening, all of you, to join in with us. Listen, folks, here's what God says. God says there's power in prayer. God says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. It availeth much. Now, if you're listening out there, and we've seen the power of prayer, I've seen it time and time in my lifetime. Pray with Joe as he asked the Lord to bring this wicked woman, this wicked woman out there in Indiana, to bring that wicked woman to repentance or remove her. And Joe, would you do that?
Sure. First, I need to say what she did. There was a law passed that would protect the unborn children from abortion. And this judge, Heather Welch, a Superior Court judge there in Marion County, said, the law cannot, the people voted for this, the law cannot take place because it violates the religious beliefs of pagans. Yep, and there were a couple people spoke up, a Muslim, a pagan, a couple of so-called Jewish people. And so the judge's ruling was that, it goes after this somebody's religion, the pagan religion. And we know that in the past, the pagans in the Bible, we just talked about it, would sacrifice their children to Baal. And that's all this is modern sacrifice to the god Baal, to what improved the lives of the people. That's why they sacrificed their children. They were told that their lives would be improved. Well, that's the same garbage they're spouting to tell you today. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this judge is so far off from what the law is. She's so far off from the truth. She has to have a wicked, evil heart. She had to come up with something that's not in the law books. It's not in the Constitution. It's one of those plucked out of air, or must be a prenumba from somewhere, you know. Somebody forgot to put this in. And Lord, we would just ask that this lady repent or perish. She needs to be removed from her judgeship. She needs to either repent and change and become a real judge, focusing on your law, on the Constitution, on the truth, or by whatever means ye see fit, remove her, whether it's closing her voice, blinding her eyes, getting her fired from her job, whatever it takes, Father. We would ask that you would get rid of this wicked, wicked woman unless she turns to you and repents of her sin. And we ask this in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Joe. Now I'm going to pray one for Jobama Biden. Joe Biden is a horrible, wicked man. I mean, he's a horrible, wicked man. I'm gonna ask the good Lord to remove the entire Biden crime family, crime cartel. They're causing so much death, in this country today, and that's their job. They're working for the New World Order people. And so, folks, pray with me. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I would just ask this, Lord. We got a wicked, wicked man. He's a very, very wicked man, Lord. We just saw what he did, inviting sodomites to the White House and making a mockery and laughing. And just like you said, calling good evil, like it says in Isaiah 5, flaunting his sin. In front of you and making a mockery, bringing in drag queens and just trying to destroy, I mean, here America was such a great country, and the White House, the history of the good things that this nation stood for, and now they've defiled. He's defiled everything. He's defiled that office. He's made that office so unclean. And so, Lord God, as he pushes and promotes pedophilia, and as he keeps the border open, him and his, to bring in more and more fentanyl, to bring in more terrorists, Lord, to bring in more rapists, more child molesters, as he keeps the border, as he's the gatekeeper. And we know that dirty money, that really dirty money, is flowing into the coffers of the Biden crime family. And so, Lord, I'm praying, Father God, Lord, that you would bring these bloody, bloody, wicked people, extremely bloody, extremely wicked, to repentance, Father God, or remove them. Remove the entire Biden crime family, Lord. And my prayer, too, is that, Lord, that you would look, and you know the pastors out there, and the pastors in this country, those that are actually saved, the ones that are saved, we know it's a minority, but, Lord, that you would encourage these pastors, those that are saved, Lord, that you would have them stand up boldly, like men, and be brave and be bold. Be, as you said, the righteous are as bold as lions, and call these wicked people out. Have the courage to call these wicked people out, because, Lord, if these pastors could find the courage to do that, their people also would do that. And you would have a voice of of millions of people in this country, a large voice, millions of people in this country, standing up with righteous indignation and calling the wicked out. There's so little courage left. Lord, so could you do that, Father God? Could you motivate your people, Lord God, to stand up? And Lord, could you do that? If we had repentance, if your people called upon your name and repented, could we once again have revival in this nation? Lord, these things we ask in the name of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, Joe.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
They're trying to make pedophilia respectable. They're trying to make sin respectable. And what they're trying to tell you is that children should be empowered to make certain decisions. We don't let children play with matches. Why? They start fires. They burn themselves. We don't let children play with hot stoves unsupervised. We don't let children play with chainsaws or all kinds of things. We don't give them a gun and put them out in the backyard and let them, you know, go play. Children have not learned right from wrong. They haven't learned what's dangerous and what's not. We don't let children decide, you know, when they need an aspirin, when they need a nasal spray, when they, you know, anything. And this insanity that, you know, children can make, we go back, this judge forgot about a Supreme Court ruling, and so did all the abortionists in America. I want to read one of the early Supreme Court decisions. It was the Commonwealth versus Nesbitt, Ludenmiller versus the people. Identified actions in which the government did have legitimate right to intrude upon religion. These activities include human sacrifice, polygamy, bigamy, concubinage, incest, infanticide, it's killing children, parricide, killing the old, advocation and promotion of immorality, etc. Such acts, even if perpetrated in the name of religion, would be stopped by the government since, according to the court, they were subversive of good order. They were overt acts against the good moral order of society. One of the first Supreme Court rulings in the nation, there were certain things that even claiming religion you can't do. So what does this idiot judge do, this Heather Welch? She says, well, these pagans, it's their religion. Well, the Supreme Court's already ruled a long time ago, judge, that doesn't matter.
People all right, very good.
Or do they?
No, they don't. We have a lot to get through, so let's get going. We have some lightning rounds here. I'll do one, and I know you've got a couple topics you want to hit on, but let's go through them quickly. Because, Joe, I have several hundred news articles here, things that are happening out there today. Now, we know that one of the things, the reason they're keeping that Joe Biden is bringing in his fellow pedophiles into the White House and the drag queens and that is to keep your attention off the other things they're doing there. What's going on in the border. People have not really grasped yet exactly how much damage, the Biden crime family is doing to this country. They're causing, half a million people have died from Biden's fellow crime cartels and the drugs that Biden, the gatekeeper, is keeping the gates open to make sure that their fellow crime families can bring in all of the drugs and keep killing Americans off. And then, again, with all of what he's bringing, the disease bringing across the border, this is high treason. He's committing high treason in the highest way, okay? And he's got the cover of all of the fake news media, and they don't have to understand that they're going to have to live in this country, too. It's going to affect them eventually, too. But here's an article I'm going to go. After Elon exposes Twitter, FBI linked to top Republicans drop hammer on feds. If you've been under a rock lately, you may not have heard about the seismic earthquakes happening on social media. New Twitter. Elon Musk has released thousands and thousands of internal documents to reporters. These reporters, in revealing their findings in lengthy Twitter files, threads exposing how a social network used to conspire with Democrats and federal agencies to censor conservatives. You know, Joe, we've been talking about this for years, how those people that work in the CDC, they can immediately, as long as they do what they're told to do by Big Pharma, they get a lucrative, well-paying job at Big Pharma. We're seeing here these people, these FBI agents and these CIA agents, these dirty cops, I mean the dirty cops, the ones that are not the good ones. Now, I want to praise the Lord because it looks like there's up to 100 former FBI agents now that have left, and they're blowing the whistle. The good and clean ones, and you feel bad for them because they took pride in the sense that doing a good job and actually defending the country. Then you got the dirty ones from the top down that have caused so much, you know, disrespect and dishonor. And you know, it used to be if you were an FBI agent, you could hold your head up high. Nowadays, they can't do that because, you know, it's... it's gotten bad. But anyhow, here, Joe, we told people, you know, these FBI agents, they go and then they get a big paying job. They go over and they were spies there at Twitter. But it's not just Twitter, is it?
No, it's we have open door policy between big business and the government, from the FDA to the Food and Drug Administration, Department of Education, you name it. There's a kind of revolving doors. They go back and forth. They go in and do the bidding of Big Pharma, you know, the military-industrial complex, and then they've got a government job, or they go from the government job to the corporate levels. And it's been going on ever since you and I can recall. We've been talking about it for as long as I remember.
We certainly have, and now it's finally coming out. So we're seeing... We're seeing it finally, you know, coming to fruition. All right, you've got an article. I've got so many, so let's do it. Let's get them done.
I've got one I'm going to hit as fast as I can. We've got Patrice Lewis writes, and if you can, this is on worldnetdaily.com, WND.com, if you look up Patrice Lewis. She's talking about, let's get rid of food. What could possibly go wrong? We know that right now the Dutch farmers, there's a big protest going on with their tractors. They're blocking traffic, doing all kinds of things because the government's going to be confiscating 3,000 farms, closing them down so they can comply with the European Union's rules to decrease nitrogen emissions by 50%. And this means 3,000 farms worth of food will be eliminated. And most people don't know, but the Netherlands is the world's second largest exporter of agricultural products, provides much of the benefits for all Western Europe. People, little bitty Netherlands, second largest exporter of agricultural products in the world. So now we've got Germany. They're trying to do the same thing, follow the EU's green agenda, is banning farmers in one of their big agricultural states from fertilizing large swaths of land. Well, the farmers are furious. They know what will happen. They won't have crops. The food will go down the hill. Canada doing the same thing. We did the story of Sri Lanka. They went totally green. They stopped using the nitrogen fertilizer. What happened? The crops failed. Harvest nosedive, starvation, and then they had a government riot. They took over the government, chased the leaders out. Now the country's in a total mess. So here we have farmers all over the world are reeling from this. And yet, what's happening in America? Joe Biden's trying to do the same thing here. They want to ban, you know, beef. They want to get rid of cattle. They, guess what? They're saying that this carbon stuff is so evil, and yet it makes up 80% of the atmosphere, carbon, yeah. And it's scarce in the soil. That's why the crops respond so well to nitrogen fertilizers. And this is what helps produce the food that feeds all the billions of people on Earth. So it's one of those things. But they're at the United Nations. What did they do at their big climate conference? They dined on beef and seafood. They're eating beef while telling the world they can't fertilize, can't grow the hay, and can't grow the alfalfa to feed the cattle. We don't want to eat beef, but they do. See what's going on?
And lobster, again, the reason, Joe, see, a lot of people just can't wrap their heads around. Now, what did Jesus say about hypocrites? He said, woe unto you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites.
Yep.
He gave them three woes, huh?
Three woes, right.
Okay, now if you get three woes from God, are you in big trouble?
Big trouble. Well, these people are trying to tell you to quit growing food, and what happens if we're short of food? We're already short of food in the world. There's going to be starvation, folks.
Everything
people will die, which is what they want.
Okay, speaking to that, manufacturing consent. How engineered famine will have the masses begging, they'll be begging for FEMA camps. This is an article by Mike Adams here. And in today's Situation Update podcast, we discuss how events are being engineered in order to manufacture consent among the obvious masses who will end up begging for FEMA camps to save them from starvation. The very same government that's creating the problem by dismantling food and energy infrastructures will also present themselves as the saviors of humankind when they rescue people from each crisis they've created. In effect, as I explained, your slavers will pretend to be your saviors. Now, this is accomplished using the following 8-step playbook. 1, engineer the problem, create the crisis. That's what the Democrats do. That's what they always do. Blame it on someone else. It's Russia's fault or it's cyber. Boy, is Biden doing that. He's blaming our fuel shortage on Russia, which he purposely created. Push outrage through the media. Use the fake news media. Use psyops tactics to whip up anger in the party being blamed. Cause fear among the population, though.
Stooge, right?
Yep. Cause fear among the population through making it hurt with real-world losses of food, money, and security.
Global warming. Our children and grandchildren are going to die. There won't be any world to give them, you know. There'll be no more snow in England except the 2 feet that they're trying to stagger through right now.
Be the savior by offering free food, free money, if you join the digital wallet. Free vax jabs or other interventions. Silence anyone who know the playbook by claiming they're opposed to solutions and working with the enemy. Exterminate the masses via mRNA, bioweapons, forced starvation, pandemic concentration camps, and other means. 8, high five Klaus Schwab for a mission well done in China style. Through this, the masses can be controlled into participating into their own extermination, even loving it. This is what the World Economic Forum globalists mean when they say, you will own nothing and you will be happy. Translated.
Well, here's what they have. Let me add this. When you just said the World Economic Forum, Yuval Noah Harari said this. They want you to sacrifice. They want you to eat bugs instead of meat. They want you to have an apartment instead of a house or land. Use mass transport instead of personal auto. They want you to have a guaranteed income instead of meaningful work. They want computer entries instead of money so they can totally control you. Surveillance instead of privacy. Compliance instead of freedom. And punishment instead of reward. This is the new World Economic Forum's mission statement.
Alrighty. We will be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. The word Cleveland
whatsrightwhatsleftministries.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.